Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
I so appreciate having prayed for the people who served faithfully in this country, who gave of their time and of their life, and families that lost life because people willingly, men and women, laid down their life that this country could enjoy the freedoms and the sacrifices. And I just, you know, encourage you, it's kind of, maybe it's, for some people, it's overdone or overkill. But just as you see, especially the older people, the seasoned, the mature, the well-established of age. My dad, when he was alive, he always wore his black Korean War hat wherever he went into whatever restaurant that would allow him to wear his Korean War hat. And he just always felt so honored and privileged when people would come up to him and thank him for serving the country. And there are so many people in this nation that don't have a grandma, don't have a grandpa, because somebody gave everything that they had, their life, for the freedoms that we just walk into. It's almost like a Sunday. We walk in here, people have been doing stuff all week preparing it and make it so easy. And it's easy for us to, almost in ingratitude, forget the cost of people laying down their lives and their life for us. So if you see some old timers, and just thank them. And those are the survivors. Memorial Day is about those who didn't make it and giving up everything. So just, it'll be a blessing for them and ongoing. And it's a way to honor people for giving something that is priceless. This morning, I want to continue on in the book of Acts. We've had a series for many weeks. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, I read out of Acts 7, and I talked about Stephen. This morning is going to be a continuation of that. Even though the chapters are separated, chapter 7 and chapter 8, this is one story, and it's a follow-on story of what was happening. This morning's message, I would entitle The Good, the Ugly, and the Beautiful. And I do find it a bit of irony in that in chapter 7, it talks about a man, Stephen, an amazing man. As I said, one of my heroes in the Bible, actually we named our oldest son Stephen after this man out of the book of Acts. That's how much I've always just been taken with this man's life. But at the end of chapter 6, the religious people, the Jews, rose up against Stephen. And accusations were made, false accusations, ridiculous accusations, exactly the same thing that happened to Jesus himself. Accusations were made against this man. And he said, we understand that you've made boasts and want to tear down what Moses did, and you spoke against God. What do you have to say? And Stephen got up in chapter 7 and gave one of the most amazing messages. Stunning. And it's understanding in the tapestry of the Word of God as he chronicled their history, the Jewish history. And he brought it to the point and said, you persecuted all the prophets. So was there one that you didn't kill? And then you had the audacity to kill the author of life, the Messiah that you're looking for. You killed him too. And instead of getting a pat on the back and a standing O, they killed him. And he gave everything for his life. And so many of us, we forget about it. We just move on to chapter 8. Oh yeah, what's the next chapter? It cost someone their life. Yeah. And so many people in our history, whether it be 100, 200, 300, 400 years ago, you know, we get to enjoy the things of the Spirit. There's so many people that were literally martyred for believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It cost them everything. So the things that we enjoy typically have always cost someone everything. And in chapter 8, it is a continuation of chapter 7. And things begin happening. And it's one of those massive pivotal points in the book of Acts and in the New Testament, where now it's the Jewish people and revival, wonderful things of thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Jerusalem have been born again, set free. The church has been birthed, has been exploded onto the scene. And the apostles, the big shots, the guys who hung out with Jesus. Yes, there's been some persecution against them. Just some minor floggings. Tore some skin off their back. Beaten a little bit. And it's still amazing when you read the first few chapters of the book of Acts. They went out after being beaten, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer for his name. And you're like, oh my goodness, I don't think they were very good Americans. And there were some troubles in the early church. And some of those troubles came out and they were solved by the apostles in Acts 6. And they had a number of men, a small group of men, I believe six in total, were set in as deacons, just deacons into the church. And one of these deacons was a man named Stephen. And he was powerful in word and speech. Miracles. He was wise beyond what was reasonable. And then this man gave everything. This beautiful message. Perfect sermon message. In Acts 7. And they killed him. And at the end, as I mentioned 2-3 weeks ago, it was the first mention of a little bitty man. A small man named Saul. And he became mighty in the word of God. But at this point, he is a passionate man, this man Saul. And it says at the back end of chapter 7 that as they were stoning Stephen, the robes of the people throwing the rocks, they took off the robes so that they could get a better aim at Stephen. They wouldn't be encumbered by a robe that was going to hold back their accuracy or how big of a rock they could throw. So they took off their outer garments and laid them at the feet of a man named Saul. You think, oh, he's just a coat guy. You know, you check in your coats, you know, like you do at the fancy restaurants. Saul's just a coat guy. No, 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 no. Saul, in his youthfulness, had been trained as a Pharisee of Pharisees by Gamaliel, or Gamaliel, as I was told by a friend of mine, to say it right. This young man, Saul, was a powerhouse of a man. And when Stephen was about to be stoned, all the Jews who were about to kill Stephen acknowledged there is a leader amongst us. And they laid their robes at Saul's feet, acknowledging he's the one in charge. He's the man leading this. Just like in Acts chapter 4, when the people began selling properties. And they sold their properties. And what did they do with the money, does the Bible say? They laid it at the apostles' feet, acknowledging, here, you're in charge. Same imagery here. At the end of chapter 6, moving into chapter 7, the robes were laid at Saul's feet. Why? Because he's a man of influence. He's a powerhouse. He's leading the charge to destroy and disrupt Jesus and the church that's been birthed. Powerhouse. Amazing man, this Saul. He's a young man at this point. And he's so passionate. He's willing to kill people. And he's proud of it. He's excited about it. He's one of those people. He's not like, oh, what should we do? Should we just flog him? Should we just give him a beating? What, 10? What do you think, 11? 12. 12. There's 12 disciples. Let's give them 12 beatings. We'll show them. Not Saul. He says, let's kill him. Let's kill him. We'll show these Christians who are taking over Jerusalem, we'll show them the benefit of following this Jesus. We'll show them. Let's do it right. Let's kill him. That was this man, Saul. Let's pick it up in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. We'll just start there. I have no idea how far I'm going to get. We'll see. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here, that you want us to understand, you want us to comprehend, that as we read verses, Lord, we just move on like, oh. These are real people's lives, real stories, real breath taken from an amazing godly man named Stephen, real breath taken from his body, leaving behind family, leaving behind loved ones, real threats, not just hollow things, but Lord, help us to understand these are people's lives, people who loved you, Jesus. And as I just, in my Bible reading, just move through, oh, cool. These are lives. And it's important enough, Lord, that you put it in your holy word, that I could comprehend, that I could understand the cost of people's faith and what they gave up, Lord. What it meant to be a follower of Jesus, the cost of following Jesus. Holy Spirit, help me to, as we've already heard this morning, to make those subtle adjustments in my life. Lord, that the rain, I wouldn't be frumpy, grumpy. Oh, the rain, what about my hair? Oh, what mascara should I wear, the non-drip? Maybe I shouldn't even, it's just too much. Holy Spirit, you would help me to make subtle adjustments in my life, those tweaks that put me in a place of blessing, to not be and sound like Floyd and Eddie at work, who grump and complain about everything, ungrateful. But Lord, that my cup would overflow with joy, with thanksgiving, that kindness and blessing would be on my lips, spilling out of a grateful heart. Lord, help me understand what you want to do and what you did in these people's lives. But Lord, the application for me, what you want to do in my life, in our lives. Lord, that we could change our community as they change their community. Holy Spirit, help me to come to grips with the brevity of my life, our lives. The Lord, that I would live it well, that I would live it fully, that I would live it in joy. Bless our time this morning. Holy Spirit, I open my eyes, my heart now to receive from you. These verses would jump off the page and would catapult me forward into the things that you have planned for us and for me. And everyone said, amen. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Reading from the NIV. Verse 1, and Saul, and again, this is Saul who is to become the Apostle Paul. Early days before Jesus. And Saul approved of their killing him, speaking of Stephen. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. A great persecution broke out. They didn't raise taxes against them. They didn't tell them, okay, you guys can't come to the synagogue anymore. We don't like you. We're not going to do business with you anymore. A genuine, true persecution broke out against the church. Verse 2. Godly men, noble men, if you're reading in the Greek, godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. I love this verse. It's one you can just read right over. And you think, well, a couple of guys from church, you know, buried them, you know, God bless you. Move on. No, the text would indicate that it wasn't Christians, followers of Jesus, that buried Stephen. It was godly, noble men, Jews, who were not converted to Jesus yet, who looked and honored and said, that man was a good man. We knew him. It was Stephen, a Hellenistic Jew. He was amongst us. He was a godly man. And noble Jews buried Stephen. And they did something that was against the Jewish culture and manner of the day. There's a wall back there. Careful. Because when someone was executed, it was written in the Jewish culture of the day, you may not publicly mourn for a man, a person who's been executed. They are not worthy of public mourning. You will not mourn someone who's been executed. They deserved what they got. That was the Jewish culture of the day. But not for this man. Stephen was such a man of integrity, so well respected in the community, aside from the angry mob that killed him. Said, this man is worthy of honor. We will mourn publicly. Forget what the leaders are going to say. We respect this man's life enough. We will mourn. And if you know anything about Jewish culture, they know how to mourn. It was mourning, weeping, tears. The Jews themselves acknowledging a godly man has passed. Verse 2, godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. Verse 3, but Saul began to destroy the church. What kind of guy was this Saul? Well, he was going from house to house. And he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Well, that's not very nice. Men and women. It's so easy just to gloss over that. Yeah, and what does verse 4 say? Men and women. And again, I'll be the first to admit, in this culture, women did not have the same value as men. In fact, if you can just remember, when people got saved, they only counted the men. Remember? When they're feeding with Jesus with the loaves and the fishes, they only counted the men. What? That's not very PC. No. You're a man, and you have value. A man. And of course, the women, you know, yeah, I mean, they're there to make more men. But still, even in this culture, where women didn't have equal value, didn't have equal say, they're still women, and you're going to treat them with some respect. I mean, sure, you throw the men in jail, but the women? That's the kind of guy Saul was. I don't care. If you're living and breathing, you want to be a follower of Jesus, you're out. This is a bloodthirsty man. He's not of the other political party. Well, you're either an elephant or a donkey. And we prefer this group, not that group. There's nothing nice. There's nothing political about this man. He wants to destroy. I love the language here. It's like, oh, he wanted to cause some pain. He wanted them to understand. King James, I believe, says, create havoc against the church. It wasn't neutral. It wasn't nice. It wasn't, hey, let's just give him a good thumping. We'll show him. This man was absolutely committed to the absolute destruction of the Church of Jesus Christ. My wife and I, we did, This week, my wife and I did something different, and we acted like some people that we know. Thank you, Rick. So this week, we went to Costco. We've heard about Costco. In fact, we saw David Lair. That's right. David Lair bumps my cart all the time when we see him. Not all the time. So my wife and I, we're going to get, new iPhones or something with the AT&T thing. And so we go to Costco, and my wife says, I want to be like Mike Smith. I want a hot dog. So we went to Costco, and we got a hot dog and a Coke. And we sat down, and we shared a little space with another seasoned person, because there was no seating. It was crazy. It was Friday. There were people everywhere. And so my wife, she's so happy. She's eating a hot dog from Costco. You would have thought it was December 25. ear to ear beaming smile. She wanted me to tell this story, didn't you? No, I'm sorry, wrong story. That other story is what I was going to tell. And so we finished. And there are people all around us waiting for a table. I mean, I could have made 20 bucks real easy at Costco selling my seat. And just from me to Heather, there's a lady in a shopping cart. And I just looked, and there's people everywhere. You can feel like the vultures are ready to swarm on our table. And I looked over, and I saw this lady, and she's got like a little 12-month-old in the cart, a little baby. And the mom is, I don't know, 29 years old. I asked her birthday. No, I didn't. She's 29-ish, and she's standing there looking at me. Like, get the mustard off your face, ketchup for Randy. But can you move on? I'm hungry. And so I kind of looked up at the lady, gave her a little, yeah, so we're rushing. Not princess, me. Don't rush princess with a hot dog. Pull back a nub. And so I looked up at this lady, and I just kind of gave her, you know, just we're getting there. And then this older gentleman came right over and stood right next to the table. Like a 70, 75-year-old guy, cut right in front of this lady and just standing there. Something. My wife challenged me afterwards. So I stood up and walked around the old dude. And I said, loud enough for this man here, excuse me, ma'am, would you like to have a seat at our table? Would you like our table? And she said, oh, I would. This man rolled his eyes, walked away. And I thought, what happened to honoring women with a baby? Oh, he was put out. And my wife said, did you know you bulldogged that old guy? Yes, I did. Welcome to my Costco experience. What happened to honoring women? What happened to honor? And looking out for somebody besides yourself. This old guy wanted the table. He didn't care if there's a lady standing there. I just look at Saul and I think, what kind of guy are you? You would have put some guys in jail. Bravo, big boy. But women? You're going to throw moms in prison? Grandmas in prison? Is that really who you are? The answer is yes. That's exactly who this guy was. Throw them all in jail. I don't care what happens to them. And we can just read right over verse 3 and into verse 4 and 5 and think, oh yeah, just an unfortunate day for them. Maybe you're like me. I've met a lot of Sauls in my life. Anybody ever met bullies? Anybody ever have any recollections of playground bullies? Yeah. Anybody? I went to Pattonville. I'm one of the only known graduates from 8th grade. I was at Carrollton Grade School, 5th grade. And we had a new kid that was in our school. His name was Anthony Timms. I'm not going to mention any names. His name was Anthony Timms. He was new. He'd only been there a year in our school. And you know what? Anthony wanted to be called by a name, a nickname, Ace. How did you get that name? It's mine. I want to be called Ace. And Ace was a big kid. And Ace became the bully of Carrollton Grade School. The bully. He would just walk up, call people names. Anybody ever have you just called names? You see that with bullies love to call nicknames of people, mock them, make fun of other people. Just give them a nickname and treat them with derision. It's just a bully. That's what bullies do. Until Mitch Metzler stood up to him on the playground. Mitch Metzler got the crud beat out of him. bloody nose. But he stood up to Ace. And from that day on, Ace was Anthony. There's something about bullies that just makes the normal person's skin crawl. But they're bullies, and they keep doing it until somebody stands up to them. But the thing with bullies is they're committed. They're all in. They're passionate. And they don't care what you think. They're going to do what they're going to do. And it's okay as long as you're on the bully side. Anthony Timms. I probably won't forget that name. 8, verse 1. And Saul, speaking of Stephen, and Saul approved of their killing him. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, I could be wrong. But wasn't that the plan? In Acts chapter 1, going back to the beginning, Holy Spirit came. Acts 1, verse 8. This is what the Bible says. Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive, this is red letters, Holy Spirit speaking, Jesus. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. They've got that part down really well. But you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It was the plan. In Matthew 28, verse 19, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, go. I wonder what that means. I mean, in the Greek, what do you think go means? That's such a complicated word. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Mark 16, 15. And he said, Jesus, to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. They're supposed to, these disciples, these apostles, this is the plan. But you know what they got? You know what happened to them? They got real comfortable, real cozy. Because you know what they had? Homes, jobs, savings, vacation plans. You're going to go down to the Dead Sea. Doesn't that sound fun? The word that Jesus had given them when Holy Spirit came was go into the ends of the world. And they're like, but we're having success right here. This is really cool. Thousands are getting saved. And the whole church, it's all Jewish. That's okay. Jesus was Jewish. The apostles are all Jewish. And it's so easy to think, life's good. Life is good here. It reminds me of when the Israelites had wandered in the desert for 40 years. And they came up to the Jordan to cross into the promised land. And 2.5 tribes said, no, we don't want to go into the promised land. This side of the river is good enough for me. We've got cattle. This is suitable for us. We don't need the promised land, thank you very much. This is good enough. The Holy Spirit, the whole decades, hundreds of years, they're looking for the promised land. Where I'm at is okay. Because I've got stuff. Anybody got stuff? I've got stuff. And my stuff is more important than obedience. My stuff is more important to me than actually doing what God said. And I understand these people in Jerusalem, the first church, the early church, not the first one. Well, it was the first one and the only one. Great things are happening. Wonderful things are happening. Thousands and thousands of people have become followers of Jesus. And it's only the apostles that are getting beaten up. There's a cost for, a title. You want a title? Go ahead. Enjoy your title. But now it's Stephen. He's a regular guy. He's just a deacon. And persecution breaks out. And now they're putting men and women in prison, going house to house. It sounds like Nazi Germany. House to house. You're a follower? Go to jail. I mean, think about it. Mark Losman, this afternoon, they come to your house. Are you guys followers of Jesus? Yes, no? I mean, don't answer. It's rhetorical, sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Was it a trick? Well, great. Don't pack your bag. It's all going to be gone in a couple of weeks anyway. It's all gone. You're going to prison. And take your lovely wife with you. She'll go to the women's sector. I find it funny, interesting. Anybody ever heard it said, if you've been a Christian for more than 10, 20, 30 years, anybody ever heard this statement said by a Christian? The American church. The American church. You know what we need? We need a little persecution. Has anybody ever heard anyone say that in your lifetime? If you haven't heard it, you're not very old. I've heard so many people over decades say, China had revival. 100 million Christians in China. Why? Because of persecution. The communists came in and stamped it out. Persecute them. And this church exploded. This church in Jerusalem exploded. We're not going to get to it this morning. Why? Because of persecution. And unfortunately, I've heard so many Christians over the years say, just send persecution. You don't know what you're asking for. Can I just say this? What's better? What's better? Persecution that gets me to do what God wants me to do? Or obedience? Right answer. It's obedience. God hasn't called me to enjoy my 401k and my savings and this and this and this and just live a nice little life as an American Christian in my nice little neighborhood in Lake St. Louis and my nice little, is it Countryshire? My nice little street and my nice little state and my nice little country. Is that really what the Bible has asked me to do? Just live a nice middle-class American life? When the same is go and make disciples of all nations. But it took them persecution. And I look at this and I think, Jesus, help me, help me, help me. In John chapter 18, Jesus spoke. Because you could have thought, well, Mark, you should have fought. You're probably an American. And we live in Missouri. If you're a local, my wife is. Nobody's coming and taking my stuff. John 18. So many things to say, but true. They came to arrest Jesus himself. Jesus. And Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, not to somebody else, they came to arrest Jesus. And Jesus, knowing what was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, who is it that you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. I am he. And Judas the traitor was standing with them. Verse 10 of John 18. Then Simon Peter, I love this guy. Such a nitwit at this point. I can so relate to this guy. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. I love this next bit. And the servant's name was Malchus. Trivia night. Simon Peter says, you ain't going to do that to my king, not Jesus. Hacks off the guy's ear. Jesus is like, dude, remind me again why you're on the team. 138 times, Peter. Jesus walks over, glues it back on. You're good. We're good. Move on. But who? So many of us. What's our natural response? You're not going to do that to me. I'm an American. Not my house. Not my stuff. Not my life. We'll lawyer up. Isn't that the American way? Verse 36 and verse 37. As they're getting ready to take Jesus away, Malchus has had his ear restored. Peter, once again, missed the moment. Jesus wants to help his team and us. And this is what Jesus said. Who? Thank you, Randy. This is what Jesus said. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not complicated. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom, I know I'm finishing, my kingdom is from another place. Verse 37, you are a king then. And we moved on from there. In Jesus' own words, my kingdom is not from here. We don't act like normal people who fight and protect what they have. It's persecution time. And the church is responding. And what do? They actually do what God had intended them for to do. The Bible says they were scattered throughout the region. Can you imagine? What do they do with Bubbles, their little femme poodle? Because Bubbles has a yard with a fence. What are we going to do with Bubbles? Anybody have a dog? Okay. You just lost your house, your job, your income, your 401k. It's gone. What do you do with Bubbles? Well, you shouldn't have a poodle in the first place. It's better than a cat. I know. You could have 3 or 4 cats. It's better than a cat. But my goodness, it's the inconvenience. The cost of following Jesus. It's the inconvenience. And we have no grid for it. And I think Jesus helped me. It's not just a story. It actually happened to followers of Jesus. And the only thing that got them on to doing what they were supposed to do was persecution. Somebody throwing people in prison. Randy? I don't want to pick on Greg. Oh, well, let me pick on Greg. I got to go home with her. Yeah. Greg? So somebody's going to come in and throw Angie in prison. And you. Do you have relatives somewhere else out of town? Could you go to Florida? Yep. Yeah. Would you think about getting on a plane and going to Florida because you got family there?
Real quick.
Why? Because that's the normal, sane thing to do. But you could just stay here in your nice, cozy little life and your nice, cozy thing. What if God had already been speaking to you about going and doing something? But you were just like, it's very costly to move. It's very costly to do that. I'm not comfortable telling my boss about Jesus. I'm not comfortable about talking about Jesus. That was the people in Jerusalem. They've got stuff. And Jesus said, it's time to obey. It's time to go. And they're like, I don't want to go. Great things are happening here. It's so easy to put this on someone else until you start thinking about, oh, I'm going to lose my house? What about Bubbles? Great, but how? What does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with us? Can I just ask myself a question and possibly you a question as we read through the book of Acts? Because there's always application to the Bible. Always. One of the things about this man, Saul, was, and we're going to get to it in a couple of chapters, but Saul became Paul. And he became a follower of Jesus. And later in the book of 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 15, it said, I'm the least of all the apostles because I persecuted the church. None of the other apostles persecuted the church, but I did. And as decades go on, he understands of how he used to live. And now, if Paul has a regret, it's remembering, I used to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. Remember on the road to Damascus, Jesus encountered him and said, why are you attacking me? Not people. Why are you persecuting me? In Acts 26, the Bible says this. Paul is telling a story. And he said in Acts 26, verse 10, I don't know if we have that. But Acts 26, 10, the Bible says this. And he tried to force others to blaspheme against Jesus. He didn't just try and put people in jail. He told them, I'm going to make you blaspheme and turn against Jesus. Now he's an apostle 30, 40, 50 years on. And he's remembering, whatever happened to that 9-year-old little girl? And I put her mother in prison for following the same Jesus. I wonder what happened to that little girl. Her mom went to jail. And I guarantee you, the Apostle Paul had some regrets in life. I wish I had done differently. My actions caused pain to others. So here's an application, a great but how. Two quick ones, I promise quick ones. Here's an application. In my life, in your life, in my life, let's stick with me. In my life, I wonder what I'm doing right now, that if I got caught, if it went south, if it went bad, I wonder what the implications might be for my kids or my grandkids if they knew Grandpa got caught doing that. I wonder if years to come I might have some regret in my life because now my kids knew what happened and my grandchildren knew what happened and what happened in their life because I wasn't living like I should have been. Because that was Paul. He's like, regret. I made people try and blaspheme against Jesus himself and turn against Jesus. You want to live or you want to die, lady? You want to live or you want to die? Oh, I know your kids are in jeopardy, but for you right now, just answer the question. I wonder how many people he taught and made blaspheme just to protect their kids. They went ahead and blasphemed. This man's living with regret years later. I wonder if the Holy Spirit wanted me right now, Tom, we can introduce pain into your life, some persecution, or you can just obey me and say, that's enough. I'm going to do what I should be doing or stop doing what I shouldn't be doing. I wonder if obedience is better than the pain. Application time for Tom. I wonder what you, I, could, should be doing or should stop. I wonder if maybe you're like me. Anybody here, we're not going to get specific, anybody here have some issues in your life you'd like to get rid of? You need to change? Rick, me and you. Chaz, thank you. I see that hand. We'll get the offering later. Anybody, there you go. 2 and 4. Anybody want to change your life a little bit? If you got caught, the consequences, the story, the legacy, your testimony. Pain can bring change. Or I could just obey and do what he asked me to do. Whether it's porn, whether it's alcohol, whether it's eating habits, whether it's that lying, that tendency to lie, gambling, addictions, that flirting with other people. What if it all blew up? That little flirting thing that you've had since you were 13 years old, you just flirt. And then one time, it blows up beyond your worst nightmare. Run, Forrest, run. I wonder if I should just change my behavior now before pain makes me. And embarrassment and humiliation makes me. I wonder, should I just start changing now? As Kim said earlier when she came up, making some subtle tweaks in my life for blessing. And you've been in church just like me. You think, oh, I'm going to stop doing that. I read this morning in the scripture. Kim woke up at 5. I was up at 3. I couldn't sleep. And I read this morning a proverb, and it just jumped out at me. Proverbs 26, verse 11. Anybody like how the Bible talks just plain? The Bible just talks plain. I go, ow! That hurt. Proverbs 26, 11. The Bible says this. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Lord, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I wonder, Tom, how many times I've said that about how many issues in my life. I'm going to change, Lord. I'm going to change. And then Tuesday and Wednesday rolls around, and I just continue on. Isn't this an upbuilding? Mm-hmm. Proverbs 26, 11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Lord, I just want to obey. I'm going to close and pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. And your best for me is that I would just change. I would just respond to your goodness. That you wouldn't have to bring pain. Persecution, if you will. But you wouldn't have to bring pain into my life to cause me to change. Because you love me that much. That you actually want me to change so much that you're going to introduce pain. But Jesus, that I just simply said, enough is enough of that. It's enough, Jesus. I want to obey. I want to leave that behavior behind. I want to change. And Jesus, Holy Spirit, I'm here to say, I know I've said it 322 times, but Lord, help me. This time I'm asking, Holy Spirit, give me help. I want to change. I don't need pain as my tutor. I don't want to be a fool, Lord. I just want to respond to your voice as a son and as a daughter and say, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to change. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn around and walk away from that. And I just want to say, just I felt as I was making these notes about flirting. And it's not just men. But it's just that thing that you do, that flirting thing. And the Lord wants to touch that and say, that leads to danger. That leads to destruction. It's not okay, the flirting. It's not okay. As a child of God, it's not okay. It's not okay. There's disaster down that road. Don't walk on that road anymore. Because he has blessing for you instead. With obedience and change is blessing. So Holy Spirit, help us. Help me. Lord, that I wouldn't live with regret the rest of my life because I didn't listen. But Lord, I would change. I would change now. Help me, help us to love people really well. To take your gospel and gossip the truth to people. And tell them about Jesus. Lord, help me, help us to become all that you've called me to be. And us, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Can everyone stand, please? Just before you go, could you turn around and greet somebody that you don't know? Just shake their hand, say, hi, my name's Floyd. And be blessed in Jesus' name.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.